You know, young people, older people, people who were born in different countries around the world, you know, but you're here and you're unique in that your experience is different than any other person's. And you might say, well, I had some really bad experiences. Okay, you may have, but they still make up who you are today. I am convinced that whether you have good or bad experiences, you can turn them all into good. Amen? You know, and it's important for you to realize that. Now, having said that, in the context of the Holy Spirit is this. Because the Holy Spirit is the same, Spirit of God, but as He interfaces with you, as He dwells in you, because of your uniqueness of character, that Holy Spirit manifests in special ways. It makes you different from someone else, even though it's the same Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see this as a positive thing. Now, I will say this. How many people, and I'm going to take a survey, and you're in church, so you have to be honest. How many people here, you know, you're a certain person. You know, you have certain priorities, you have certain things. How many of you here are irritated by someone who has different priorities than you? All right. You know what I'm saying. In other words, you consider certain things important, and they're like, who cares about that? But I care about it. You're like, why do you care about that? So the point is, all of us have a uniqueness. And the same is in the Holy Spirit. Some of you are evangelists by nature. In other words, you just love to share, and you love to talk to your neighbors and your friends. Other people here, they do things differently. Maybe they're more a teacher. So in other words, they love to be in Sunday school and teaching kids, but they don't really like to, you know, verbally stand on street corners and say, you know, Jesus is coming, you know. And so here's the problem. The teacher thinks the evangelist shouldn't be evangelizing. The evangelist thinks the teacher shouldn't be teaching. Everybody thinks they should be doing what they're doing. You hear what I'm saying? And what you need to focus on is to do what you're called to do. Don't worry about the other people. They're called to do certain things. Let their uniqueness in God shine out. Encourage them in their uniqueness, and you just be you. Amen? So often, here's what we do. We start pointing our fingers. How many fingers do I have pointing back at me? You know, you're right. I got more pointing back at me than pointing out. And we need to let God be God in everyone in their individuality, and we be the best person we're called to be. And I'll tell you, it's difficult, especially when you're not sure who you are. You see, as you become more confident in who you are as a child of God, you're less critical and judgmental of those around you because you know who you are. And so you act and do the things you're called to do, and you let them be who they're called to be in Jesus. In fact, if anything, you're encouraging them. Listen, I'm not an evangelist. All right, you might think, well, hold on, you're up here. I am not truly an evangelist. I can evangelize, but I'm not one of those kind of people that, you know, you got to be saved. I'm not that kind of person. And so I now am in a place in the last 10, 15 years where when I see an evangelist, I don't look down on them. I encourage them to do their job. Why? We need evangelists, all right? But on the flip side, we need teachers, we need prophets, we need pastors, we need all the other gifts of the Spirit to be manifest as well. And so be the best you can be, amen? So how does this all begin? And so Sandra, could you just pop up that slideshow for me? Let me find my little controller thing. So if you look, we got being born again. It all starts there, all right? And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the second step. And then the gifts of the Holy Spirit follow that. Now let's break this down a little bit just to help you, okay? John 3, verses 5 to 8, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So listen, there's a lot of teaching out there. Some people talk about, you know, being born again is one thing, and then being born of the Spirit is like a second step. Can I tell you that when you are born again and accept Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit at that moment comes and dwells in you. Amen? We worship one God in the form of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus is invited into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Amen? And that scripture here is very clear about it. You must be born again. So you're born again by accepting Christ into your heart. Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. All right. So the born again experience, you know, it's a call to salvation. So you're saved. The process of regeneration begins. We'll talk about that more in future weeks. Sanctification, that's the process of you being made holy. In other words, the stuff you used to do a year ago that isn't good, hopefully you're doing less of it today, because the idea is as Jesus is working in your heart. Amen. Are you perfect? Well, I'm not going to put my hand up, all right? We're being perfected. The process of sanctification is it's a process of being made holy. Thank goodness that Jesus doesn't give up on any one of us. Amen. Thank goodness. In fact, the word says this, those who have, I'm paraphrasing, but have sinned much, love much. In that those of us that have made more mistakes, we're so appreciative of God's love because we see more forgiveness in our lives. Sometimes if we're like the goody two-shoes kind of person that gets saved, it's like, well, thanks Jesus for saving me, but I really didn't need you too badly. You know what I'm saying? But for those of us that have been in the gutter, for those of us that have been, you know, at the depths of despair, we know what it is to be saved and we're grateful for it. But regardless of where you've come from, we should all be grateful. Amen. Oh my goodness. Amen. And then perseverance. Part of the born again experience is not to give up. Amen. You know, we're behind enemy lines and sometimes, you know, we begin to change. That metamorphosis happens. We change from that, you know, ugly, grubby caterpillar into a butterfly, right? And we want to fly, but have you ever seen, I've watched some nature videos. I'm a nature kind of guy. And you watch the butterfly come out of the cocoon. It's beautiful, right? But it can't just take off and fly. It's, you know, its wings are kind of wet and weird looking and they have to dry and there's a whole process involved before that butterfly can fly. Can I tell you that when you come to Christ, sometimes there's a process involved before you can, in a sense, fly with Him. Don't give up, all right? God's got a plan. He's going to help you from beginning to end. He says He's the author of our salvation, the beginning and the end. He's at the starting line, He's at the finish line, and He's everywhere in between, thank goodness. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but He's there. I promise you, He's there. Amen. Well, I pushed the button, went the other way. Okay, baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is, if you saw in our little pie chart there, it's the next process. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here's Jesus telling His disciples that this is what's going to happen. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to address this, but then move on. Again, we could talk a lot about this. Some people believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a separate event from salvation, from being born again. I think that it can be splitting hairs, and here's what I mean. Some of them actually go as far as to say that you accept Christ, and then there's something more. The Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're baptized in the Holy Ghost at a later date. I want to say right now that we as a church do not believe that, all right? We believe that when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. Now, having said that, is there something that can happen subsequently to being saved? And I believe the answer is yes. What I would refer this to is the yielding over to the Holy Spirit. Because if you've accepted Christ and Christ lives in you in His fullness, you don't just have a piece of Jesus, you have all of Him living in you. So what is a baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, by definition, often there's evidence of it by what? Speaking in tongues, you know, different things manifesting themselves. And so is it something coming down on you? I would rather say it's something coming out of you. So it's a yielding over. For example, to be able to speak in tongues, what do you got to do? Got to yield the members of your tongue so that it can speak in a different language. So it's a yielding, it's a letting it out, so to speak. I remember praying for someone a number of years ago and they come up for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I said, are you ready? And they're looking around and I'm like, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to come on me. I said, dude, you're looking in the wrong place. Look inside your heart. Let them out. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, yeah. Well, then where is Jesus now? In here, okay. Is the Holy Spirit living in you? Yeah, it's the same. Oh, and they had this revelation. Right away, they started speaking in tongues. Because they were always looking outside for something more. Can I tell you, you got it all. If you've been born again, Jesus lives in you. Let Him out. Let Him out of you. Amen. And so what we need to do is begin to do that. And so then you have people say, well, I don't speak in tongues. I can't speak in tongues. So I say, well, do you expect that Jesus is going to like grab your tongue, twist it around and make words come? That's not how it works. And so often people get frustrated with this. Can I tell you, it's easier than you think. How many people here, when no one's around, sings songs? Now, you may not get the words right. You know what I'm saying? Everybody here nodded their heads. You know why? By nature, we sing. It's just part of us. Now, some of us like me sound horrible, okay? But we still sing. And to the Lord, It glorifies Him. Can I tell you that that's probably one of the greatest ways that you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Just start singing songs and believing God that something's going to happen. Because you got to make your tongue work. If you think you could just close your mouth, okay, God, make me speak in tongues, it will never, ever happen. To yield over your tongue, you gotta wag it, okay? And one of the ways you can wag it is through singing worship and praise songs to the Lord. And here's what will happen. You'll start doing that, and all of a sudden words will start coming out that were not part of the song and not part of a language you know. And to you, it might sound like baby gibberish, but to Jesus, it's pure prayer to heaven, amen? And so I encourage you, if you're in that place where you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Ghost, can I tell you, Jesus lives in your heart. He's on the inside. And I encourage you, let Him out. And that's one of the ways you can do that. Amen? Listen, does that mean that a person who has not shown the evidence of speaking in tongues is not spiritual? Some groups would say that's true. I do not believe that. If you have Jesus in your heart, listen, you've got the love of God in your heart. I encourage you to love individuals, whether you're a tongue-wagging, Pentecostal, crazy person, or you just don't have that experience at this point. Can I tell you, don't give up perseverance, amen, to keep loving Jesus with all that you've got. And those things that happen. Now, having said that, I believe speaking in tongues is important. And we're going to talk about this. There's three types of tongues, actually, and we're not going to talk about it today. But it is important, amen, and we'll deal with that. But I want to say this to everyone here. Again, I don't know who speaks in tongues and who doesn't. That's awesome, kind of. In that I love and respect each one here, and so does Pastor Vic, exactly the same because you're one of God's children, all right? You understand what I'm saying? This is really, really important to know. Because there's some places, some groups who look down, well, you're not a tongue speaker. Oh, I don't know about you. You know, are you even saved? You know, there's some crazy stuff out there. And that's not true, amen? So I just encourage you to know that everyone is loved exactly the same. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. If an unsaved person came in here, we actually love them just as much. So I hope you don't get offended about that, because God loves everyone the same as well, amen? And we need to treat everyone the same, amen. Okay, so baptism of the Holy Spirit, what does that do for us, right? Let me go back. Witnessing of what Jesus has done in your life. Power and authority in spiritual issues. Boldness. Listen, when you begin to speak in tongues, all of a sudden you realize, hey, this Jesus thing, this is real. When you're in the pits of despair and you don't know how to pray and how to intercede and what to say, you begin to pray in tongues. And Jesus allows you to pray pure prayer to heaven. And it builds up and edifies yourself. Amen? How many people need built up from time to time? I know I do. Amen? You know, things happen. Okay. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's the next process. Out of the Holy Spirit, God wants to do gifts. Just a minute, push the button here. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God. You see there that you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all at work there. But it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit of all. In other words, the Holy Spirit is designed not only to build up and edify you, but to help each one around you. Amen. That's what He's for. It's not to say, hey, look at me, look at what I can do, but rather say, let me help you with this. And when you get insight, and you can help that individual in where they're in a difficult time. Because often if you're at a high, guess what? Your neighbor's at a low, all right? You know, if your husband's or wife's at a high, you're maybe not doing so well. So you're there to be able to support one another and encourage one another in the Lord. Amen? Okay. It's for the exhort the believer, encourage the believer, edify the believer. Amen? That's the primary reason. As well as, I believe, it's also to demonstrate the power of God to the world around us. Amen? I'm absolutely confident in that. The gifts, okay, this is our last slide possibly for today. The gifts, 2-5-2, meaning they're grouped this way. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, and the last two, tongues and interpretation. You're going to notice something essentially about all of them, that for them to operate, something has to happen. There's speaking involved. There's action involved. In other words, if it's all on the inside, how can it build up and edify anyone around you unless something is said or an action is performed? Amen? In other words, something's got to happen more than it just being on the inside of you. The point is that the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to dwell in you. He wants to dwell and manifest outside of you as well. Amen? Now, with that all in mind, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. There's a scripture I want you to see. It's actually the second scripture I ever memorized, believe it or not. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In fact, let's go back to verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Just waiting for the pages to stop turning. I'll read it again. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Now look at this, verse 5. That you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you till the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. NIV says this, that in verse 5, that you may be enriched in everything by all of your speaking and in all of your understanding. So think about that. Because of Christ, your understanding is increased, as well as your ability to speak. Your utterances have changed. In other words, you've been brought up. Listen, if your IQ is whatever number, just because you know Christ, it's jumped numbers. You understand? Because of Christ living in you. And in fact, isn't it amazing that some of the greatest scientists in the world were born again Christians? There's a reason for that. I believe that because instead of them just relying upon their own self-reliance, they were relying upon the Holy Spirit of God as well, and they were able to do even more brilliant things than if they were on their own. So you have been brought up levels. You know, some theologians call it the gospel lift. In other words, you've been brought up out of, for example, out of the gutter and put on solid rock. Well, also just in your thinking, in your understanding, God's given you greater insight. And I encourage you to look back on your life and say, hey, am I a little smarter than I was before I knew Jesus? Because scriptures say you are. Amen? And I encourage you to capitalize on that. Don't put limitations on you. Maybe somebody told you when you were back in school, hey, you're a nobody. You know, you're never going to make it. You know, you might as well just go dig ditches for a living. You know, whatever. You know, someone maybe just bad-mouthed you on your intelligence. Can I tell you that when you come to Christ, you're a new creation? I know individuals that couldn't read before they met Christ. They come to meet Christ, they open their Bible, and they can read. Well, what happened? That was Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I know there's a person in this very room that miracle happened to. That's miraculous. Why? Because God gave that to them by the Holy Spirit. And we shouldn't box God in. Listen, just because you couldn't do something 10 years ago doesn't mean you can't do it now. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Come on, don't give up. You know, be persevering in your faith. I was at a lady's house just yesterday evening. And she's retired now, and she's begun to paint. And I looked at those paintings, I'm like, wow. You know, she's into landscaping. I'm like, that's amazing. You know, you can actually see what it is. Like when I paint, I draw like stick figures and, you know, that's, and I'm looking at it, saying, man, that's the hand of God working through her to do that. I was just amazed by that. So I encourage you to allow Jesus out, not just to speak in tongues. Listen, that's an awesome thing, but let him out through inventions. Let him out through your creativity. Let him out through song and praise. Let him out through touching your neighbors and your friends. Let him out any way you can let him out of you. Amen. Don't think, oh, well, if I don't speak in tongues, I can't manifest the Holy Spirit. That's a lie. That's just the devil beating you up and making you feel bad. Love on people. As you love on people, that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just encourage you with that. All right. What I want to do is take a couple minutes, look at one more scripture. This is so important. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but we need to reiterate it. It's Mark 11. This is so, so important. It's just so, so important. The concept of perseverance and not giving up. Especially for those of us who have been picked on in younger days by others, or maybe the enemy's picked on us and saying, look, you're not going to be anything. You'll never be able to do this or do that. And let me tell you, a lot of people experience that, whether verbally from someone else or just that voice inside their head, all right? But either way, it's demeaning, it's depressing. And after a while, you feel like, man, I can't do it. Your arms hang down. You're like, I can't do anything. Can I tell you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what Scripture says. But in Mark 11, the Lord is speaking here, and look down at verse. Let's look at verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." So here's Jesus speaking, and what he's relating to is that the previous verses, they were walking into Jerusalem, and before they got there, Jesus was hungry. He saw a fig tree, so he looks at the fig tree, he goes up to it, and there's no figs on it. So here's what he does. He curses it. He says, "May figs never grow from you again." And his disciples heard it. They go into Jerusalem, go to the temple, do their thing. They're coming back the next day, and Peter sees the tree. And it's all shrunk up. The leaves are all dried up. And literally, you could see a change from the day before. And Peter says, "My God, Jesus, look at the tree that you cursed." And that, and then the very next line, verse 22, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" In other words, trust God. And trust God in what? That words have power. That our spoken word. You see, you may not speak in tongues, but that doesn't mean that your English words can't be anointed. It doesn't mean that when you speak to someone and you're encouraging them, that it's not the Holy Spirit that's emboldened you and empowered you to talk to them. Amen? In other words, don't box God in. You know, the words that you say, listen, there are no neutral words spoken. Can I tell you this right now? When you speak, you're either speaking life or you're speaking death. Just think about all the words you've said this very morning to whoever you've talked to. Have they brought life or have they brought death? And some of the words that we speak, we do it unconsciously, in a sense, in that we're on this track, you know, and well, this is what we always say to so-and-so, or what we think about so-and-so. And what are you doing? Are you thinking life words or death words into them? And if you, my mom always said, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Well, can I tell you, there's scriptural basis for that. I encourage you to take that to heart. But we need to remember that our words, you know, think of God himself when he made creation. What did he do? He said, "And God said," and poof, stuff started happening, right? Well, the Bible says in that very same book of Genesis that we were created in his image and his likeness. So that means to be able to do the same stuff that he did. That means that our words, when we speak, brings life or death. You know, when we're with our spouses or our friends, do we encourage them or do we call them idiots? You know, when they make a mistake, "Oh, you did it again," you know. You know, it's so easy to tear down, isn't it? So easy. And can I tell you that good and bad words don't equal one another. You could say 9 good things and 1 bad thing, and what is the person going to remember? Always. So it doesn't work like on a ratio of, you know, 50-50, of equal balance. And that's why it's so important for us as believers in the Holy Spirit to speak life into those around us, amen? To bring encouragement, to bring the love of Jesus. Now that doesn't mean we don't correct, you know, or we shouldn't correct. Listen, somebody's doing something wrong, you need to tell them. Why? Because they're going to hurt themselves or hurt others. We need to do that. So that, I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about idle words. We need to be encouraging in all that we do, amen? And so as we look at this scripture, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." In other words, trust God. Trust God that your word has power. Because he goes on in verse 23, he said, "For surety I say to you, whoever," now that's cool, because it doesn't mean, oh, just the apostles, or just certain anointed people. It's whoever. That's all of us, all right? "Whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." It's interesting. If you look at this portion of scripture, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 4 says, or asking, in other words, speaking, and there's equally amounts of believing. In other words, we have to not just believe in our heart, "Well, I'm just believing God," you know. And if we're not speaking it and professing it and confessing it, that's a part of believing. Amen? In other words, if you're believing for restoration with a family member, you know, to be speaking that in your prayer time. Not just keeping it down, "Oh, well, God knows my heart." Yeah, he knows your heart, but he also tells us to ask and to speak. In other words, when you're praying, please do not pray under your breath. Don't pray, especially when you're alone. Okay, don't do that. Talk out loud to Jesus. All right, when you're in your car, nobody's going to think you're crazy. How many people are rapping to some song all the time? You know, they're bebopping along. Well, you just bebop and pray to Jesus, all right? Open your mouth and talk to him. Here's why. First of all, you know he's hearing you because you're speaking it out. Second of all, you're hearing it. And things happen. As you're praying, God gives you revelation. God begins to speak to you. Something happens when it comes outside your head. I can't explain it. I just know it's scriptural and we need to do it. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is part of this whole process. So what about this mountain? He says, speak to the mountain. Now, do you think that Jesus pointed to a mountain, maybe one of the hills around Jerusalem, and says, hey, you know, if you speak to this mountain, be thrown into the sea? Maybe. But you know what I think the greatest mountains are in your life and in mine? They're inside here. There are thoughts and ideas and things that are not of the Lord. They're the greatest mountains of all. Now, you've got some circumstances going on maybe at work. Yeah, I heard of some of that this morning, right? Some stuff going on at work, maybe at school, all right, maybe at home. But primarily it's inside, but there's some outside. You need to speak to those things. You need to speak to those things. I'll give you an example. Just yesterday, we had a problem with a piece of equipment here. And so it happened 2 weeks ago. The problem happened 2 weeks ago, all right? So I get it, but nobody told me. So I get a call last night at 6 o'clock saying, hey, this piece of equipment doesn't work. And my first response to this individual was, well, hey, thanks. You know, we've been at work all week. We could have looked at this thing. And what this individual said, and I give them credit, they said, you're not going to put that in my head. Now, I want you to think about this. In a sense, what I said was condemning. It wasn't intentional. It was just, hey, could you let us know next time? But they felt, that, and they said, no, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to accept that. Now, I give that person credit for stepping up to the plate. And at first, I'm like a little offended. I'm like, hey, but he's right. They were absolutely right to say, look, I don't want that bug in my head. Don't be afraid to do that. Somebody speaks something condemnation. Say, hey, I don't accept that. Don't be afraid to do that. I don't accept that negativity that you're telling me. Don't be afraid to do that in Jesus' name. Because you don't need that in your head. Come on now, you need to be honest about it. Somebody's saying something bad against you and it's not right. You need to say, I don't accept that. And it may mean I don't accept that, and then you turn and walk away. So they get it that you're not going to accept that crap anymore coming into your life. You need to be honest about these things, all right? Because do you want that in your head? Because then for the next 3 weeks, it's in your head. Going around and around and around. How does that make you feel? How does that work out for you? And so if you want something different to happen, you need to use your words, the power of God that's in you, to say, I don't accept that. And you could do it in a gracious way, although for some people you need to be less gracious. You understand what I'm saying? Like, stop that! You know, they got to understand what you're trying to say, all right? Other people, you can be a little more gracious. Say, well, you know, I don't think those words that you're saying are pleasing Jesus and uplifting anything. And so you can do it that way. And if that works, hey, great. But then you may have to, when they do it again, be a little more strong in your words, amen? But I encourage you to speak what Jesus would want you to speak and to stop those things coming into you that are not of God, amen? Words are like knives. They can hurt you. You know that saying, sticks and stones will hurt me, but words won't? You know that whole, can I tell you? Words can hurt more than sticks and stones. They really can. So we need to be so careful about that. So we see here two things happening as we read this scripture. Saying or speaking and believing. So saying and trusting. So here's what we need to do as believers is begin to be in that secret place like you heard about last week with Dr. Font Schultz. To be in that secret, to hear the heart of God, to know what he wants. And then when we come out of that prayer time, to speak forth what he's told us to do. And we have the greatest example of all. We have Jesus. And what did he do? Every night, the Bible says he would go into the mountains to pray. And then he would come down and he would heal the people. Why could he do that? Because when he was praying, he heard what he was supposed to do. Then he would come down and all he would do is do what his Father showed him to do. So when he spoke a word, be healed, and for this and for that to happen, it happened. Why? Because it wasn't his words. It was God the Father's words through him. God the Father wants to work through you, through the Holy Spirit, to change the world around you. To change you, but also to change the world around you. Amen? So the Holy Spirit, to me, is the nearest and dearest friend that you could ever have. Amen? Built-in counselor. He's your friend. He wants to be there for you through the thick and thin. Listen, he's not a fair weather friend. He'll always be there for you. Amen. So if you're going to get anything out of this morning, be perseverant. Wherever you are in your spiritual walk with Jesus, can I tell you this? There's more. There's more. You could be a tongue-speaking Pentecostal that prays 10 hours a day in tongues. Can I tell you? There's more. You could be someone that spends 5 minutes in prayer in the morning. Can I tell you? There's more. So just be encouraged wherever you are in your walk that Jesus loves you and there's more of him available to you. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the word and that your Holy Spirit was sent. In fact, Jesus, when you went to heaven, you said, I won't leave you as orphans, but I'll send you the helper, the paraclete, the one that's just like me to be in you and live in you and help you. So, Lord, I thank you that that time came already back in the upper room, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit has been dispensed upon the earth. And for those who accept you and believe in you, you live in us. And, Lord, we just pray that we can activate you more, that we can acknowledge you more, that we can let you out more and more in our lives. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.